Well, I wonder if how good your memory is. Can you remember the big event from 2010? A couple of years ago now. Who can name the big event? Sorry? No, this is not the one. Sorry? I heard it. Mind, do you remember? The Chile? That's right. The Mayan disaster. It was an amazing event, wasn't it? 33 people, 33 men were trapped 620 metres. Get your head around that. 620 metres below the surface of the Earth for 9 weeks. I mean, that whole concept terrified me. I've been in a mine. I've opted not to work in mines. My brother is a coal miner, and I have no comprehension of why he enjoys his job. It is an insane concept. And these guys, 33 of them, were trapped underground for 9 weeks. I mean, even now, as I think about that event, and as I think about the rescue that occurred, I get goosebumps. I mean, it was an amazing event, wasn't it? But as big as that rescue was, it's nothing, absolutely nothing, compared to God's rescue mission, God's great rescue mission. And that's what we want to think about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, let's open them again to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1. And Luke is writing what he calls an orderly account. And you read that there in the very outset of chapter 1. So in the context of introducing his orderly account of Jesus, Luke does a really interesting thing. He draws our attention to three prophetic utterances. Now, we looked at the first of them last week, Mary's song, and we discovered together that as we encounter Jesus, we encounter God. Well, as we continue that theme this morning, we're going to look at Zechariah's song, where we will discover together that to encounter Jesus is to encounter the Deliverer. Let me read it for you. Luke chapter 1, verse 67. His father, John the Baptist, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. The context of Zechariah's position in the scriptures is that he is the father of John the Baptist. Now, remember John the Baptist? He was the one who preceded, who came before Jesus. He was the one who was crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." John the Baptist was, as it were, a signpost pointing to Jesus. suggesting that he is the one. Yes, this Jesus was the one who was to come, the promised one, who was to come and fulfill God's promises. Zechariah appeared at an interesting moment in history, because there wouldn't have been a first century Jew who at that time wasn't waiting and longing for God's promised one to come. The conversations would have constantly been filled with, how long is this going to go on for? When I was 12, I went to hospital. It was my first experience, other than when I was born, and I don't remember that. But it was my first experience of hospital, and I went into hospital to have my tonsils and adenoids taken out. The surgery was late in the afternoon, early night, and of course I was under anaesthetic. Well, the anaesthetic wore off, and I woke up, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm in a strange place in hospital. I was in pain. I didn't know the rules. I didn't know if I could get, pain relief and all that. And I'm kind of there in my bed in pain, and it's dark as outside. And I just, as a 12-year-old, the clock goes tick, tick, tick. And I found myself just wondering, when will this darkness come to an end? And I could look out a window in my hospital bed, and I'm just looking out the window thinking, surely now the sun is going to just break through. How long will this night ever end? Even now, I think it was the longest night I've ever experienced in my life. And I'm sure you've probably had experiences like that. Well, I think it would have been a bit like that for these first century people. They knew things were wrong. They knew life was hard. They knew that their experience of life really wasn't how it was supposed to be. And they must have wondered in their conversations together, will this dark night ever end? Well, if you were there, just imagine what it must have been like to hear Zechariah prophesy. It must have been spine-tingling to hear what he said. I mean, notice it with me. Verse 68. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. What? He come? Is the night over? Verse 69, he speaks of a horn of salvation. He's using symbolic language. A horn was an idea of a symbol of strength. And he's speaking of a king, a strong king, a saviour king is coming. Verse 71 and verse 74, notice it. Salvation from our enemies, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies. The Jews were living in an occupied nation. And some of you know the experience of having a military force occupying your nation and living under the power of that force. And these people are hearing, we're going to be rescued from this. Rescue is going to come. Verse 77. He is coming to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. They knew the reality of their broken lives. They knew the reality of their rebellion. They knew the reality of their sin, of their falling short of God's holiness. But we're going to be rescued from it. And what about the imagery in verse 78 and 79? the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. Yes, the dark night is coming to an end. The dawn is about to break over the horizon. It must have been truly amazing to people. But they must have found themselves wondering, are we at the corner? Are we at a turning point? Is dawn about to come? Is God about to do something? Back in Chile in 2010, a team of people from the very outset of the mine disaster frantically started to work to rescue the miners. But one man stands out in my mind. His name is Manuel Gonzalez. This guy was truly amazing. This guy, in my mind, was the hero of the whole deal. Because the mine, the rescuers had been drilling down, and the reason why these guys were underground for 9 weeks was that it took them 9 weeks to drill down to them. Initially, they were able to get a communication line down to them, but what they wanted to do was drill a round hole down so they could actually get the guys out. But to do it, it required someone going from the surface down 620 metres underground. Manuel Gonzalez was the rescuer who did that. And this is a photo of him in the cage just on the surface before they lower him down, down into the dark. And he went knowing he may not come back. He went knowing the risk. He went knowing he indeed might perish with the 33 other people, other men that were underground. And friends, in a similar way, Jesus came into our dark world to rescue us. Like Manuel Gonzalez was to the 33 miners, Jesus is to us our deliverer. He is the one Zechariah spoke of. I love the way Paul grasped this concept, and as he wrote to a first century church in Colossae, listen to what he says. God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loved so much. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in and got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. Jesus is the deliverer. The deliverer you and I so desperately needed. Did it wrong again. Some of you will know the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor during World War II. He was actually executed by the Nazis. Well, in his Christmas Day sermon in 1933, before the war had begun, he used imagery in his sermon of a trapped miner. Listen to his language. It's beautiful. Deep in the earth, dark as night, the man is cut off and alone. The supply of oxygen is limited. Food, water, and options are scarce. Silence and fear engulfing. He knows his situation, and he can do nothing but wait. He knows that up there the people are moving about. The women and children are crying. But the way to them is blocked. There is no hope. But what is just this? In the distance, the sounds of tapping are heard, the sounds of knocking, the sounds of friends, the sounds of drills, rescue capsules, and deliverance. And then Bonhoeffer goes on and says, This is the hope of Christmas. The coming of a deliverer. The drawing near of God to humankind. The arrival of Christ, our rescuer. We sang one of Charles Wesley's wonderful hymns this morning. Did you notice the missing verse? Kenneth. Never again, brother. You can leave out other verses, not this one. Yeah. Long my imprisoned soul lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused the quickening ray. I was the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Oh, this is an amazing prophecy Zechariah is making. Jesus, our deliverer, has come. And we know that Jesus has been born, that Jesus grew as a man, and that yes, Jesus went to the cross and died for us, that indeed we might know the liberty of his deliverance. So what do we do with this message about Jesus, our deliverer? I mean, yes, it's nice, it's good, isn't it, to hear about it. What do we do with it? Well, can I say the first thing is, welcome the deliverer into your life. How would it be if those 33 miners, when Manuel Gonzalez arrived and said, "Oh, it's you. We'd prefer to have someone else, thank you very much." I'm sure they didn't do that. I'm sure they would have embraced him with jubilation. How deliverer has come. John put it this way in his gospel in John chapter 1, verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Welcome the deliverer. I've never experienced it, but I've been told that on odd occasions when someone is drowning out at the beach, you know, and the lifesaver goes out to rescue them, so the deliverer swims out to rescue the drowning person. And quite often the drowning person is fighting and the lifesaver comes to them and the person is trying to cling to them and fight with them. I've heard it said that to actually rescue the person, lifesavers have had to hit the drowning person to knock them out so they could actually rescue them. Because unless they hit them, the drowning person was going to actually not only drown themselves, but the rescuer with them. Now, friend, it could be that you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. You've heard about Jesus and you've never welcomed him into your life. And it could be that you feel like you're getting hit a bit as you think about your life experience. Could it be that Jesus is going to? Let me rescue you. Let me. Because you have no other hope but me. How do we respond to this message of Jesus the deliverer? Welcome him. And friend, if that's your reality, we'd love to talk to you more this morning. We'd love to pray to you later and speak it out. Let's pursue this opportunity. But what about those of us who do know Jesus? Who have welcomed him? I mean, yes, our rescuer has come, but his arrival is not the end of our waiting, is it? I mean, even though Manuel Gonzalez arrived in the mine with the promise of rescue assured, the darkness still surrounded the miner. happens in a similar way. You and I find ourselves as the followers of Jesus, yes, hope-filled in a dark and lonely world. We rest secure in God's promise, in the fact that God has in Christ done an amazing thing, and yet we look forward to the fulfillment of that day when we will no longer hunger or thirst, when there will be no more crying or pain, and when death will be swallowed up in life. The challenge for us who have welcomed Jesus is that as we now live, how do we live in this hope-filled, waking kind of life in this dark world? Well, let me make two suggestions. Live every day as one who had been delivered. Yes, for us who know Jesus, we have been delivered. And yet, we're still surrounded by the darkness. Titus is helpful here. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us. So the deliverer has appeared. This salvation is ours. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. Now, yes, hope-filled, waiting kind of life, but yet surrounded by darkness. This present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, for Jesus the Deliverer to take it all away and wrap it all up. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So how do we live now? Well, live every day as one who has been delivered. And I think Titus helps us to understand it, what that looks like. I mean, you know how it works. There's every year they seem to run a story on the news about a crazy Broncos supporter. Now, I know Kenneth likes his sport, so I'm treading on sacred ground here. I'll go very cautiously. But I think Kenneth is borderline with the soccer. I've seen photos of his kids, you know, in the gear. Well, but nevertheless, they are nothing compared to these crazy Broncos supporters. Like, they've got a maroon and yellow car. And you walk into their house and it's just decked out. It's painted maroon and yellow and it's got autographs and it's got the whole thing. These people, their whole life is shaped by, I support the Broncos. Their whole world. There wouldn't be a person who they came in touch with who didn't know, I support the Broncos. Well, I suspect that's what it's like here. No, following Jesus doesn't mean you've got to buy a Jesus-coloured car or wear a wristband or whatever, whatever, whatever. No, no, it's how we live. And Titus is helping us think about that. And then finally, how do we live as followers of Jesus? Live every day aware that the Deliverer is in our midst. The Deliverer is here. Now, I think sometimes we forget that. We lose sight of the fact that, yes, I've been set free, I've been delivered, and yet I'm still living underground. I'm still in the dark world. Good grief, how is this going? Well, we live here knowing that the Deliverer is here. Jimmy Sanchez was one of the trapped miners. He was the youngest of 19. Anyone 19? Anyone 19 here? All over the youth service. I was just trying to comprehend a 19-year-old trapped underground for 9 weeks. No iPod. How did he survive? Well, in the early days of contact, the miners wrote notes to their family and the like, and they sent them back up to the surface. Listen to what Jimmy Sanchez said. There were 33 track miners. Jimmy wrote, there are actually 34 of us because God has never left us down here. That's powerful. The deliverer has come, and the deliverer is here with you, and the deliverer is at work in this world now. And we look at this world and we go, oh no, no, the Muslims are taking over. Oh no, this is happening. Oh no, this is happening. Hang on a second. Who is God? The deliverer is here. He is at work. He's doing what he wants to do in the world today. He's working out his purpose throughout the nations. Oh boy, that's a great place. No, there's 34 of us down here. Amen. Hallelujah. To encounter Jesus is to encounter the deliverer. Anybody. Oh, Father, thank you. I mean, we thought about it already this morning. You gave us grace. You didn't give us what we deserved. We deserve just to be left underground and chew up a hole. But you didn't do that. You, God, rescued, sent a deliverer. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I simply ask that you, by your Spirit, would burn into our hearts the reality that we are the delivered. That we don't have to live in the prison. Oh, such a peace that we might, in this dark world, shine out the glory and the wonder of Jesus. Father, I pray in Jesus' name.